I'd like to thank you for coming.
Do we need to have any discussion among
these things? Maybe, yeah, if you could step out for just a second.
Well-developed system in that general area. But it's a common
the most egregious.
I was careful because it is not one of the weaknesses of the FCC is it doesn't appear to have an agreed framework attached to it. So what this thesis is trying to do is capture these type of issues addressed by SRB and say not addressed by Oxenheim, which is what they're thinking. People are not mentioning it, but a very good example is Jim Gray, who has this very good Kaiser astronomer who not want to use, because as it federates with the Microsoft database level, we cannot use it. People have not chosen to take Microsoft solution. So although Jim Gray says that wonderfully, it's A, just what they want, but it's federated in the wrong way. The astronomers cannot control the general feature. The astronomers cannot control which database a particular group uses and quite how the different wavelengths in astronomy are federated in that way. They cannot control it. So that's the problem. If I just came back, I'm trying to wear a suit, but I came back from some meeting in Indianapolis with the state. The 92 counties, which does mention the same problem, they have 92 GIS systems, and they choose 5 different software solutions, and it is not possible to conceive of federating in respect of a relatively high level. So that's the problem.
Okay. So, when he's giving us talk, we can narrow the question. The goal is, this is not so good, but to help them get a strong thesis.
Yes, but actually, any help would be appreciated, because I see this as an important problem. There's somebody like Jim Gray, and I don't quite get it right. And the astronomers don't know what to do, and Reagan Moore, who's helping the astronomers, somehow has not got acceptance in the community for this approach. Appears to me that it was an unsolved problem.
Actually, I agree with you, and I'm glad to hear you saying that.
Well, I would say he might be a little too firm about clear the solution. I would be a little too firm.
Okay. Well, sorry. Dragging me on that. I was putting through the ringer. Do you want to go ahead and
do okay. The title is Integrated Federated Filter Services for Decision Support in Application Science Domain. So the key terms are filters and decision supports. Here's the motivation. Decision support is based on scientific data in an application science domain. End users need the ready to use information and knowledge, and easy to use online tools to access data in their problem-solving environments. For the data to be useful to the end users, they need to be converted to domain-specific information and knowledge. Filters are information sources transforming data, utilizing metadata of domain-specific service and data. With the domain, we mean GIS, geographic information systems, astronomy, and chemistry. These are our domains that we are interested in, but our main domain will be GIS in our architecture. Challenge in distributed application science domains. That's what we are trying to do, but not exactly. A world in which everyone benefits from scientific information and services across any network or platform. It sounds maybe web services, filters might be web services like that. Discovery of data and services. Reframing and analyzing data through computations. End users wants to increase the scientific output through collaboration and federation. But collaboration and federation are just challenge out of scope in my research. Up-to-date services and data such as meteorology and earthquake science. In for example, meteorology, we need up-to-date data. If the data obsolete, then it will be nonsense, unuseful. So, seamless integration of services, creating domain-specific metadata, enable autonomous computing. I mean, machines should be able to connect to each other and calculate a kind of collaborated people. But autonomous computing also out of scope, but these are challenges in distributed application science domains. Extracting information and knowledge from the raw data. So, recognition of the problem, what we are trying to solve or emphasize on this domain, on this motivation. Background. These three components are our architecture's basic components. I will be talking about filters too much, and I will give some samples what they mean. Filter services, for example, in GIS domain, feature services. Feature service keeps vector data such as rivers, roads, boundary lines between cities. These are lines or points. Lines or points are vector data. As a filter service, input and output are vector data. In case of web map server, input is vector, raster, or image data, but outputs should be image data. Filters should behave in a predictable way. For example, web map server, I know that web map server gives me image, map. Metadata. Metadata service keep metadata above the filters. Metadata is capabilities file in our architecture. Each filter has a capabilities file and publish this capabilities file to metadata in case of loosely coupling of filter services. Filter services can be coupled tightly between each other, changing the capabilities. But if you want to use loosely coupling, we will be using metadata. Other services is actually unknown in the architecture, general architecture, but domain-specific services such as server grid applications. In case of pattern informatics application, for example, we need earthquake forecast algorithms. These are another set of functions that's wrapped as web services and integrated to the system. But they should also have some concrete input and output ports and channels. But I will not mention about the other services, mostly focusing on the filter federation. Other services are application specific. Here is the summary. These lines. What is the filter integration? What about decision making? So decision makers are just human beings. They cannot interpret, binaries, data. They cannot interpret raw data. Raw data should be processed through to filters, and there should be knowledge or wisdom decisions to be able to useful for the decision makers or scientific applications. For example, by the adapters, data changed to strings, numbers, and bytes, and in the GIS domain, we define a data model, data format. Geographic Markup Language, GML. In case of chemistry, we will be using Chemistry Markup Language, CML. So after making it common data format, then another filter, for example, web map service, make it image, and decision makers will see the image. So we put these different services into filter service framework. These frameworks provide specific ports and channels. For example, discovery channels, publishing channels, or capability providing channels. For example, get me the capabilities or get me the services, which kind of data you are providing like that. Here is the basic structure of filters. These are framework, these are core modules. In case of feature service, for example, they convert the binary data to GML data. In case of web map service filters, they convert GML data to map. In case of another CML service like that, these are core service, application specific. application writers should write this, but these are compatible to others in architecture. They should be connected to other filters. So here is the general architecture. Integrated filters for decision support in GIS domain. Decision support is here. We should make decision support based on what? Based on some useful information, not data. To be able to get useful information and compose them, we are using master filters. For example, user connects and asks this, give me the your capabilities file. Master filter gives the data A, data B, data C is available in these servers, in these servers, in these servers, in some bounding boxes, in some attributes. Capabilities file is an XML file and predefined schema. Everyone based on the GIS domain knows this schema about capabilities file, and they get the required information. For example, user just deal with the what kind of data you are providing. That master guy says that three types of data. But actually this guy doesn't have any database or sensors connected to it. It just connects to other filters and gets their capabilities and see what type of data in what bounded boxes, in what attributes they provide, and they provide these aggregated capabilities to end users.
So the idea of a master filter, there's a single one that is a factory giving out these services, or that every user will have their own?
No. These are multiple. Every user can connect. For example, this might be master service. But when I connect this guy as an end user, I will see just data A. When I connect this, I will see just B and C.
No, I'm thinking of the master server. Is it a single machine that's providing this, or is it multiple machines all over the country?
Single machine. Single machine. Each machine has one cable.
Okay.
And does the master service do anything? Does it join the data in any way, or does it?
No. Not join the data. Just joins the capabilities file.
Okay.
Just keeps information, up-to-date information.
Mm-hmm.
There are some proposed architecture. We are thinking about making these connections dynamic with modules. For example, update and check each other's capabilities every day to keep the data update. But in that case, each filter should keep their capabilities up-to-date manually, because it will be kept in hard disk or somewhere. They should keep each one trust to each other, because in other case, for example, give me this data. If this data is not available at the end, for example here at the vector data, then it will give exception. If it gives exception, then look at the capabilities file and see the vendor's telephone numbers like that and connect to it, and it will make update, or you can use another server providing same data. Yes. Everyone has one capability, just one, every filter. But every filter, if for example, I have one capability file, this also has one capability file. If I request this capability, it will send me this capability, and I will aggregate capabilities, and I will say to the third party that I'm providing these two data. Actually, I'm providing just here C, but by connecting to the B, I'll get information about this filter service, and I will say that, yes, I can connect and I can get this data from this filter, so I can provide these two to you. But actual data transfer will be in just in time, not when until user wants it. Yeah, I will show you what I have done and what the future. But right
now, this
is the final. This is the final idea.
Okay, so that's your idea there.
Yes,
okay.
But I will show what I have done and what is the future direction.
Okay. I guess so my question is, what is the state of the art? What are people doing now? They're just
actually right now, there is no job done on, this architecture. Everyone is, for example, Oxodai, SRB, and database community is trying to merge or federate the data. It looks similar idea, similar aim, but ours is little bit, it seems little bit vague. Theirs also like it, but we assume that everyone provides predefined domain-specific schema that they can communicate each other and they know how to connect and how to query. But the other communities such as SRB, they use some other techniques for combining their, federating their data. And for example, Oxodai just use Java for connecting to the database for the grid application. Mm-hmm. And they say that they provide API for different databases. For example, if it's Oracle or if it's a file system, you can make your search just one command line. They will handle that. But I don't care, I don't deal with that. These are one level up. I will show the hierarchy where we are
okay.
on the data information knowledge and wisdom decision hierarchy. Here you see, and then we get the map. Actually, I have done this demo in Los Alamos. I have done my internship last year, and I might go this year again, maybe one month to finish something. This is a map coming from, for example, these are vectors of the lines. These represent gas, gas lines. And the greens are electric power lines. So just overlaying it and getting these two vectors that are from different services and these base maps from the coverage service from Minnesota and NASA JPL mapping, we just get overlay them. Just a sample how to combine the information on the user interactive interface. That is the real world. It was the simplified. That is the real world. Jeffrey's idea. Grids of grids about data grids, like that. There are some grids here, databases, different vendors, different software, different operating systems, different platforms. Or other services, filter services, but these are not definitely defined, but just everyone can define their services, filters, and the others define. There is no definite distinction between these services. But I have made and I will explain. Here is the hierarchy, raw data, data, information, knowledge, wisdom. Actually, we are at this level. If you put this hierarchy here, we are at this level. But, for example, SRB also I like deals with the sensors and database integration like that. But by putting adapter in front of the SRB or sensors or database, we are making it domain-specific XML hierarchy data and using it for the decision makers. Because decision makers want to use easy tools, easily access, on-time data. And our architecture will be service-oriented architecture, based on so filter services actually will be implemented web services. They will visual and here when you that's the actually the simplest case. That is the last step. For example, you can call this arrow GIS domain. Another arrow, for example, canister domain. But at the end, what's the recognition of the problem in GIS domain? To make the problem simple, to explain, I got the GIS domain. The GIS domain has two interesting features. Small number of devices, small number of services that generate a specific problem. For example, as I mentioned before, web map service, the feature service. These filters provide querying capabilities with the predefined schema. For example, feature service can keep the data in databases, and query with relational table and query with SQL. This simple structure has important implications. Services are self-describing, chaining services together as sequence of filters. Actually, composability of the filters enables federating services based on their capabilities. Federation, what we mean by the federation, filter federation? Federation can take many forms. But our mean by the federation is here. Composite maps created by multiple services acting as a single virtual service. Load balanced map generation, splitting up complicated large maps into chunks for getting great efficiency for the performance. That is the future. We will make load balancing by using different chunking the large images into small pieces, and after getting them merged together and displayed to the user and users. What we are doing different from the OxoDI, SRV and databases? We don't necessarily address data integration issues. Filter integration based on communication, capability based communication and capability aggregation, I mentioned before. New information sources can be added by the adapters with its capabilities document. Any information source can be changed, but this change should be diagnosed by capabilities document. If you change your data type or bounding box or some other attributes, for example, if you are providing map not for California anymore, you should please put it in your capabilities file. And then domain dependent or application level metadata. Search and retrieval of data, not storing or querying. Actually, we are looking at the problem from the user endpoint. For example, user got the map, and we have interactive mapping tools. For example, you are drawing just mouse drop and drag, right? When you make this drop and drag, there are lots of job at the background, doing some parsing, going through the filters and getting data. Querying is created on the fly at each filter based on their capabilities file.
In your system?
In my system. Yeah. But SRV and the others are different. Their issue is performance. But our issue is efficiency. I mean, how to say, providing service. Good service, best service.
So you're saying,
for example, SRV made parallel I/O. Parallel I/O makes it the fastest federation in the world right now. So we are not fighting on the same level, we are on different levels. We are on top of them. We are trying to make their system efficient for the end users. They don't deal with end users.
So what you're saying is for a user to actually use their system is very difficult, that they would have to make multiple queries?
Yes.
Like that?
Yes.
And so you're talking,
for example, here, when you click on the map, there might be different data coming from different services.
Mm-hmm.
And if you want to make a query, get information, further information about these data, so that if there are three layers here, there will be three different queries going to different databases or some service. But each query type, each querying is defined by the end filters. They have adapters how to serve the data in their databases provided.
So in your system, you would just have to make the one query because it's all aggregated in some of these capabilities. But in their system, they have to figure out, I have to contact these three different endpoints and send three different queries. Is that what you're saying?
Yes. Okay.
Why do you consider this is not a data integration problem? Because you're looking at different data sources of a different format, and you're looking at the single user that wants to address those certain query requirements.
Mm-hmm.
How can you get a different data?
But I don't provide common API. I connect each data by their adapters. I don't create common API.
Do you expose each data store directly to a user without additional integration? Is that what you
mean? Yes, different.
I think this deals GIF, we all agreed upon.
Yes.
This will work with
predefined schemas at the end filters.
So I just want to step back and ask you, what is the goal of your system idea? Is it usability or efficiency or your final goal? Why do you consider your approach is much better than the other approach currently, in the real world?
Yeah, actually, for the integrating information at the knowledge, information or knowledge level, providing the end user decision support users interactive mapping tools by integrating filters, and filters provide different data from different sources. First of all, we deal with usability. Data should be usable, right? So, in the most efficient way, how to use the data? If it's not useful, data is nonsense. For example, time-dependent data for the earthquake forecasting that we have done some applications in PI, Southern Informatics, Code, and some others. Just filter providing data providing at the end filter that has adapter for the day for their data providing.
Actually, this would have to be where multiple data providers come together.
Yes. Yes.
Not at the end where they.
No, not at the end, because filters change. For example, one filter makes the map from the external data, and the others takes these maps and add another vector's data, rivers for example, and merge this image with the vector data coming from, for example, in vector services. For example, filter federation example. In Indiana, there are 92 county map servers, and each map servers are maintained by different contractors and has different operating systems, different platforms. How to get and combine them? Yeah, what we are doing? We are creating virtual map servers and interacting with these maps together.
Is all of the data in the same format, except in different? I mean, it's
image.
Stored in different databases, but when you actually extract the data, is it? Similar,
yeah.
Or do you have to do your own native
schema
for it?
There, for example, as an image, they're okay. These are image.
Okay.
But
so
if, yeah, if,
okay.
If it's, for example, vector data that represent lines, numbers,
mm-hmm.
numbers should be in structured format
mm-hmm.
to be interpreted by the other service. In that case, we are using domain. For example, we are in GIS domain. GIS is compatible with OpenGeo Spatial Consortium. They define data, GML, geographic markup language. I know when I get the data, I know what is there. If it is river, where is it? Is it in California? Is it in Turkey?
So the end user can interpret the data once they get it. It's a matter of trying to go to different resources that have it stored in different
yes.
ways and
try yes.
to extract it.
Yes.
So, I have a lot of agreement. give you an example. So tornado touches down on our campus, rolls up with the mother campus. We need an emergency response team, we need to get composite maps of multiple campuses. It's not represented by the world in separate map GIS systems, possibly from different places. They have some common schemas, but also some uncommon schemas, like, you know, the partial data is not in the same format for all of the campsites. So it's a mixture of common and fragmented formats. I would say that, as far as I know, in this field, there does not appear to be a lot of trouble in making radical filters or transformation to convert the different county partial format to the same format. Deep data. But
so would this system somehow solve that? Do you want to come up with some ways and thoughts that we have to go in a similar format?
Yeah, we have some samples and also integrating
so
that.
That is one example of this shows that particular area of county masters. We are not against this, but we're trying to buy a house.
Mm-hmm.
That's on cross county for the house. And they're trying to the other example I mentioned earlier was astronomy, where data sources, so that they can be fed relatively transparently either later systems, such as statistical analysis systems or visualization systems or what have you, to allow, most of these cases, people are making decisions. They have a much we do about the tornado, or have we discovered a black hole and things like that. That's why you can make decisions at all. And it's sort of the last step. Another very good example is the Department of Defense. They have obviously a huge number of pandemic data sources. They must make decisions in real time. And they're highly adaptive systems. So there are obviously fixed repositories in high value and high value. There are also endless mobile device sensors, all sorts of things that you see data, people feeding in information.
No,
but
I haven't solved
it.
Partially solved.
We have a set of dynamic or static sources of information. They have effectively what's called capabilities, which is classical metadata, attached to it, what they do and what they possess. And the strategy, which is suggested by the GIS system, where the feature service and web map service have to act with it, by OGP says, is to federate using those capabilities of information to do that dynamically. Using GIS and other fields of the system, the other one you mentioned is chemistry, which is one of the things doing this thing with this database, Peter Murray Rath doing his thing, PAPCAM doing its thing, and the tweaking sensors doing their thing, which is possibly dynamic. So why can't you federate sources of data? Some people will tend to send it all to CADIG and just stick it in CADIG and get it to work. I doubt that that's what happens. Certainly with the Department of Defense, they must be doing it much more. The fashion of spec, dynamic, engineering, stuff.
So, in the solution that you guys are pursuing, is it very distributed in that I have my own data source, so I have to somehow put a module on that's going to interface with your system so other people?
Well, that how feasible that is and how scalable that is, I'm impossible. But we have good debate. What should we do?
Right now,
students are publishing information to this data.
Yep.
Meanwhile, over at Pittsburgh, the screening center is pouring out data, and back at NIH, they want access. So
yeah.
Tell these people what to do.
Right now, we have some ideas, but they are not proven. We have some demos. For example, we have some assumptions. They should be domain-specific. They should be adapters that adapting the raw data into the system.
I think we've already got some ideas which are important to take into account. One thing we learned from the earthquake problem is that the simulations look like a refugee center. This is a film. This is a Fortran code. Running on a large supercomputer, it feeds in fault data, locations of feeds in GIS data, produce an answer. So there is a sudden probability of an earthquake at this point in time. That is representative for the world, observer for the refugee. So the work that you ask the higher level part of the system cannot tell that there was a full-term program or a database producing this data. It's all presented, the idea is it's all presented from the same source. That's why the picture I drew, I have these lines, and all those lines are meant to speak to the main specific language. As far as I know, this is certainly not agreed, and it's not obviously correct. It's the current working assumption. It appears to succeed. It appears to have been adopted in the GIS domain, and now we're generalizing it. In many ways, they did not do it. I don't think they ever did it for simulations. They didn't change GML for CML and do it for chemistry and everything. Did the same thing for bioinformatics, use LML and things like that. So they had some relatively obvious generalizations. But I would say success, scalability, and I would say the relationship to me is the SRT is less clear. Not so obvious. I think the relationship to oxidizer is good. Richard Boone is a totally different level. SRT is doing it at the highest level. So quite what the relationship to SRT is, I would not agree with that. I do not know what the relationship to SRT is. I would view that.
No, I said we are on different levels. They are just.
I don't even know if that's true. I
just rich enough. So it doesn't support the kind of feeling that the end users have.
So you may be able to help us, but I do not understand the SRB looks to be such a large system and is presented in such language and really impassioned by Reagan that I don't quite understand it, and I get lots of negative feedback from people.
Yeah, even their job is discussable.
I find it extremely
yeah.
confusing. However, the virtual observatory doing their problem. Their problem strikes me as almost a general problem. And they do have quite a large number of heterogeneous repositories that they wish to federate. They appear to think that they can do the SRB. So given that, I would say I do not quite. The only thing I understand is that I can't use Jim Gray and I can't use Dr. Gray. Jim Gray is either end to end.
Here is the literature survey. I will skip this and summary in the next slide. Here I have tried to survey some John and Leo, which is Iowa compatible, LATE, LEAD and MyGrid projects. These are trying to do similar things. Conclusions of survey. All application grids we surveyed have similar features. First of all, they are service-oriented architecture and they are trying to extend their service-oriented architecture to OXA, Open Grid Service Architecture. All have service families, data service, application services, application execution, information service and workflows. Many use GIS, but other astronomy, chemistry and bioinformatics, the other samples in scientific information. Most of them, all the scientific applications make their application and architecture compatible with these standards and specifications. OGC and IOWA is domain-specific standards. If you are GIS domain, for example, we are in GIS domain compatible with OGC. If you are astronomy domain, if you are in astronomy domain, you can compatible with International Virtual Observatory Astronomy standards. These are some specifications for data, for resource, for registry format, for the resource. For example, instead of features that map service, they use the virtual observatory resource. And the others is ISO TC211-19100 series of GIS standards. For example, spatial data, temporal data, metadata and services, they have some standards. Because we are using end-user interactive tools and we are implementing these, we should be compatible with XML, DOM, XSLT, HTML.
There's a question on some of these queries will be very large data sets, and XML doesn't have a binary representation.
Yes, that's the problem in scientific application domain.
So are you going to convert everything to XML?
No, actually I'm using tool parsing, for example. Because of I know the domain, I know the specification, application parsing. I'm just looking for, do you have points, do you have lines, do you have something? Even if it's 50,000 megabytes like that, I can get it in 10 seconds or 2 seconds. Yeah, I have tested, because first of all, I started it with DOM, document object model, with small XML representation of the GML like that. But later, for the efficiency, right now I'm using full parsing because I know the domain application. But there are some other issues, fast XML, binary XML, the other IBM and other research on these type of issues. I might use later, but right now full parsing is okay with us because.
Why don't you explain the difference between WFS and WCS?
WFS provides vector data such as points, lines, rivers. Rivers are just lines on the surface that can be represented by coordinate values. But WCS provides raster data, bitmap data. For example, when you look at the television, you will see small points, dots. Each dot represents some information.
Why don't you discuss the relative trade-offs of using XML and XML?
What we have done so far? Actually, this is filter service, gets any raw data from database or sensors and makes it domain-specific format. In case of GIS, we use GML. Another filter gets this, another filters, for example, that map server, gets this GML data and converts it to map. Domain data model is XML-based hierarchical data which enables us to do our job cross-language and cross-operating systems. That's why we are using XML structured data. So these are application use domains. Servo grid project, pattern informatics, GeoFest, Virtual California. We have running demos about these three. For example, Virtual California with University of California, Davis, Pattern Informatics with JPL and University of California. GIS work at Los Alamos National Lab. Last year I have done my internship and I integrated my architecture to their system on the GIS again, GIS domain. And future is chemistry and astronomy. We will be working on chemistry and astronomy and try to figure out how to create general architecture for different data represented in different schema, for example, CML and GML.
So for that kind of data,
We don't have any idea about the, any how to combine them, but that is the final goal. But there is no solution on the world right now how to use GML and CML, because they are different language, different attributes, you know. For example, in the CML you have data, you have atoms, molecules, molecule numbers like that represented in the CML. But for the GIS you have coordinate numbers, special reference systems, bounding boxes. Yeah, we can extend our argument. Right now what I'm explaining, what I have done. Yeah, this is general case, and I'm trying to explain what I have done. Yeah, that's what I have done, but...
Why don't you answer the question?
Okay.
Why don't you answer? I asked you a question. Did you not know? I asked you if you have had... There is a slide around which I certainly don't want to describe to general. The overall about 2 million feet solution for the general case. You have that slide.
And if not, can you just give it to us on the whiteboard?
I introduced something called the AFS, Application Feature Center. I think that's the right word. Do you remember that slide?
Yes, it's on the paper. Yeah. But right now we are just...
Why don't you find that slide and answer the question? I'm answering the question. It doesn't have to answer the question. I'm going to the next slide. Can, but I wouldn't know.
Application features?
Feel that. A slack. I know. And then we'll have a sort of a proper overflow and we'll get a file of the attachment.
Yes, it was on the paper.
Why don't you draw it over there? Can you draw it?
Yes,
I'm not explaining, because I'm not understood. Could you please describe that?
this will provide context for us to understand.
Yeah.
Okay, so this is cool. But my title is related
to... But you can tell people you think this picture is wrong. That's also allowed.
Yes.
If you think it's at all relevant, you should... There was a question asked as to what the approach to the general application. This is a 2 million feet. Very, very crudely, a strategy for addressing a general application. Can you discuss that?
Yeah, if you, for example, as an end user, you are in an application platform, for example, in Java or in Java, right? So you are dealing, for example, this is Java, right? Again, we have another, no? Java, right? Okay? Or another one, JS sensors, or JavaScript sensors, CMS. Okay. There are lots of bunch of things, but again, my title is coming from.
I'm not interested in your title. Please describe the diagram. What is AES2?
AES2 is application specific language.
Yes. What does that imply?
Application specific language, for example, you are Gemma, application specific language, for example, Gemma, Schema, EBML in biometrics, like that. And something else, application specific language is something else. This is our architecture based on. So, these communications are application specific language that translate. Whatever it does, doesn't matter. But how to represent these different things in one example. There are a couple of alternatives.
Why the hell do you have to do that?
Yeah.
I don't understand why you don't want to. That's not what that application is.
That's the ultimate goal. We
it's essentially possible that an astronomer will want to have GIS type of data.
Yes, that's why I'm trying to. That's what I'm trying to say.
For example,
yeah.
So they could determine whether smear. Oh.
There is no reason to make something colored. But we call it application specific language. If you wanna go there, you can go. If you wanna go there, you can go. For example.
So I think what Jeffrey's saying is merging all of them into a single language might be beyond the scope of your.
Yes, no, it's not, but I will not merge this because chemistry scientists doesn't deal with this gem. They don't care. So each in different topics domain.
I will now describe the question. Now the 2 million feet picture is you have a world consisting of servers and sensors and services and tools and transformation tools. And each domain, whether it be particle physics, astronomy, GIS, or chemistry or bioinformatics, the strategy is sort of the same. Every tool, every service, every repository speaks and agree and a language to be agreed on with ASL, which is the language for that domain. That language is GML for the GIS, it's CML for chemistry, and it is one of the leading languages for bioinformatics. And many fields have yet to invent such a language. The proposal would be for this picture that they should invent such a language. So there's one message to the application. You should invent a language, which we will try to describe the structure of. You know, to express queries and express the data, and that both of those capabilities. And you will build every program you write will be built with a service. That whether it is a sensor or a data repository that exposes output-looking data, and that is exposed as a format. You will build filters, which are like Rupees quantum chemistry code, which accepts ASL, in this case CML, and produce CML. That is the rule.
Yeah.
We will then produce an architecture taking things with application specific, which talk these domain specific languages, and they will, and we will introduce the generalization of the concept of capabilities, which are the metadata attached to that language. And we will tell you how to federate this dynamic set system. That is the general approach.
So if you go on a framework and allow domains to speak their own language.
He was discussing this more than a
computer. No, no, I didn't.
Slightly different problem.
I didn't.
I would say that simple diagram is trying to explain why the thesis in this area could claim to introduce a framework. I sent around some messages to the CML, the chemist of the said, how should we do this? And said, I wasn't clear because it's not so obvious, and if you look at what people have done in fact, this is not actually what they said they should do in theory, and we wouldn't forget
no replies for the 100
different replies. Actually, the only people I sent this message to, I got good replies to this company. I got lots of interesting replies to this day. Why would you? They were actually pretty interesting. But I would claim that get the chemical informatics project has come in a small way. I wish to adopt an approach. So one simple deduction approach.
This is what we need to do.
Yeah. So we ought to look at CML and say, what does CML have to have added to it to make it useful?
Yes, before there are too many small dialects was invented in the chemistry, and they can adopt a common dialect.
Yes, so we should try to tell them what that dialect should express to enable this language. That I would say ought to be a product of this thesis.
Yes.
What is and you see, it was different from SRP, and I don't think SRP says the answer is you use SRP.
Right.
So we're trying to get a different sort of answer at a more architectural level. So we're not going to say you shouldn't use SRB and you shouldn't use Oxidine.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to tell you what your strategy ought to be. How many working groups you need to set up at the first observatory. You could have working groups defining what is simple VOQL, ABQL, or VOK, which are addressing aspects of this problem. But they, I think, are just, they have no guiding principles. They are just solving their problem.
Mm-hmm.
So we're trying to, in this thesis, take that example, take the chemistry, take the GIS where we've done much the most well, and produce a set of guiding principles fully implemented in the case of GIS, but not fully, probably not fully implemented in the case.
Yeah.
One of your first slides, I think, because
yeah.
It simplifies it greatly and it takes it out of the specific domain and it helps us understand.
Yeah, I
don't
think same
thing,
right?
But we need to see it. And I think that you have a little bit of a problem communicating what your vision is. You're so close to it, and you learn how to step back and say, hey, Conway, she doesn't work in this area. She doesn't necessarily understand what the major issues are that we're dealing with. So how do I give her this bird's eye view?
Okay.
And then I can go into the details and I can talk more specifically about capabilities and she's going to understand what capabilities.
Yeah, I can show capabilities file, sample capabilities file, but if you want.
But I had to understand this first to really understand why is your approach novel and why is it necessary?
Yeah.
I didn't understand that for the longest time.
Okay. Here is the sample interactive tools. For example, this is for the pattern informatics demo here. Actually, I will not go through what does what. This is movie. Actually, this timestamp data are each frame represents a small tiny time intervals. For example, if you want 10 years data and one frame for each year, so you will get 10 frames and you will play this. So that's the interactive query tools. You don't create query. Query is created here when you click information and click on area, for example state boundaries, you will pop up, you will get some data. This data actually comes from the database.
But notice, you see, again, this is the earthquake
topic. Yes.
This would not be in the GIS. But the same framework still works. The people we work with at JPL and Irvine have diligent and USC have diligently produced the GML convention of the topic. By doing it in this framework, we plug it in to this type of, in this case, we just have to say OGC, and sensors and earthquake faults, we do the same thing with sensors with GPS, known for the sensors. And GPS sensors and earthquakes just become features, and they can be treated by federated and all these wonderful things using the framework.
Yeah, we can do same thing. Movies and pop-up queries, easy to use for the, for example, chemistry domain. But at that time, you should change your filters. Filters core architecture. As you know, filters architecture. In the middle, there was core application specific coding. You will just change this one, but the framework will be still filter. The architecture is based on filters. Yeah, I cannot explain it. Here, current status, what we have done. We have done mapping services. We have converted mapping services, filter services, and filter frame. We integrated with map service and feature services. For example, Google Maps. We have also integrated Google Maps into our filter architecture by putting adapter, by using Java. Google uses Java, that's why they are fast. So web map service and feature service vectors, we combine these three data from different filters and display. We made interactive decision maker tools with display and data query capabilities.
So there's a large number of GIS systems that already provide end user interface.
Yes.
Are you going to interoperate with those?
Yes, I can. For example, I use NASA map search as another filter.
Don't say all, just say how many users.
What?
Nobody can do all. No. Just say, you know, estimate how many,
for example,
how many ones we've done and how many ones we might hope to do. Just give a healthy model size.
Yeah, for example, I cannot provide catalog services because it takes time implementing. But
just
I can use somebody else.
You use Google, you see, it's a minor victory for the architect. You're able to re-engineer Google because it happens.
Yeah.
That would be just
for example, somebody else in the OGC community can use my mapping service or feature service because I'm compatible. And
you haven't addressed authentication and authorization. I mean, I'm assuming that all of the data services are publicly open.
Yeah, because you are publishing your capabilities file, saying that these are mine. But when somebody requests it, you can check the vendor names that's written in the capabilities file. You can see the vendor which one, sorry, which one. Actually, these are one more level authentication because everyone is publishing their capabilities. You can look at the their interface and get the capabilities file. Right now, authentication and authorization, I didn't use. Because, for example, I can use lots of web map servers from other communities because they say that we provide mapping service. Then I can connect and get their capabilities and make another request.
It's okay not to address it, but you know, I think being explicit about it is a good idea. Because a whole lot of apps people tell me they want the ability to access web services and also integrate their little private stash that they got, you know, with that same interface, so that they can get a leg up on their competitors without having to publish their private data. That's okay if you're not addressing that.
Right.
No one else
does. I'll think about it.
Well, I think the party line could have been.
Right.
It's just a standard web services. People would be on the authorization way of doing web services.
I would avoid saying could have been trusted. I would just say aren't so trusted. Because if you say could have, that leads into a whole lot of deep
questions. Architecture does not exclude that. It's not absent from the architecture. In fact, magic diagram, but it has to be good for the
So we also integrated the system to other application science, for example, pattern informatics from JPL and University of California, Davis. Future direction. But by using these interactive decision support tools, we are planning to investigate interesting problems of information transformation and service federations. Research issues. We are trying to create general architecture of metadata-enabled filter services. And we are trying to federate these filter services at the information level. And maybe we can, we plan to generalize the filter services support GML and CML at the same time by using abstract XML, for example. That was my idea, but defining domain-specific metadata language such as GML and capability scan. Actually, we are using for a specific domain. They are described by the communities. We will be compatible with ISO, OGC, and IOL. And we will be compatible with best practice of the grid and web service, so this W3C and GGS. We will define application-specific imaging service and application-specific feature service in JSON. And we will create interactive decision support tools utilizing integrated filter services. Tools for map animation, movies, image, and interactive query tools. And we will be enabling binding of services into pipelines with or without human intervention through metadata by using metadata services, because each service might change or some data might be obsolete. They should be up to date. It will be done by dynamically connecting and dynamically changing capabilities file by adding some other modules to capabilities file. Caching and load balancing to handle large scientific data in an efficient and robust manner. Actually, composability of the filters enables load balancing. Instead of getting huge XML data from just one feature service, if same data provided by another filter, then you can make it half and get these data parallel and merge them on the end user, on the master filter service.
Or whatever your metrics are. Mm-hmm. And here, when I look at these, I don't see well, how am I going to, I mean, like, you know, here you're going to be compatible with that practice. That's more of a kind of, here's our research method. Mm-hmm. I want to know, well, what are you actually going to have at the end of this dissertation that we're going to say, that's a big contribution for
mm-hmm.
a dissertation, and here are, you know, here are some supporting things, or here are things that support that contribution. So it does not organize very well for me to see what you're going to have at the end.
Yeah, contributions.
Here.
Yeah, and I mean, this is a little bit the same. I don't see, I don't see a very clear list of this is exactly what the professor will want on the interview. And it doesn't have to be, I'm going to have this F. It could be, I'm going to do this analysis, so other researchers can learn about it. Yeah, for example, filter grid formalization is creating filter framework through capabilities metadata, defining all the data and information sources as interacting web service filters with standard metadata service pools.
Right, so that one's really great. So you're basically saying, we're going to come up with this architecture, and you're giving some details about what you think your approach is going to be. So that's fine.
Yes.
So
robustness and caching through the filters, and enhancing decision support with domain-specific metadata language, integration of multiple information sources into interactive user interface and query tools.
Yeah, so that one's like, here's an outcome. Your architecture is going to basically enhance decision support in this way. So that's more of, it's not at the same level as saying I'm going to come up with this architecture. So do you see what I'm saying? I'm having a real hard time understanding what the conversation is. Okay. And you know, I have, you know, the two pages practice and it's at a very similar level. And, you know, I don't know if maybe it would benefit for you to see someone else's proposal. It can be 15 to 30 pages long, basically laying out, you know, here are the problems in detail that I'm addressing, and here are the very specific contributions that go all the way from this big view, and then you can go into, how am I going to do that? Well, I'm going to do it so that you can give the details too, but we want to see kind of really big contributions.
A big contribution is using different data from different providers for the end users, as my title says.
Right, so you need to, I guess, split it up in a couple ways. You need to have one, your thesis statement, and this can be maybe two sentences long. What is this thesis about? And you need to have a very well-defined, well-thought-out thesis statement. Then your contributions are all the things you need to do to support that thesis statement. You know, you're going to do this analysis, you're going to propose this framework, you're going to, you know, those kinds of things. And it's still kind of high level, but it's watered like that. But I always tell my students, you have somewhere between 3 to 5 big major contributions in your dissertation.
Mm-hmm.
3 to 5. So at that level, high level. Then for each of those, well, how do you do each of those? If I'm going to do this analysis, well, then I'm going to have this particular implementation, and I'm going to use these metrics to compare the two implementations, on and on and on. So then you can get into fine details about how you're going to do each of those 3 to 5 major contributions.
Yeah, I think I cannot, couldn't explain what is the contribution, what is the challenge. But as I said, maybe in that picture or in my previous slide.
Well, I think you really need to spend some time thinking about that now. Because we're supposed to be coming up with a contact. You're going to say, I'm going to do this work. And we're going to say, yes, if you do that work, then we agree we're going to have to. And if I don't know what work it is you're proposing, then that's really hard for me to agree to that. And it doesn't protect you any. You could come back into your time and say, here's the work that I've done, thinking that you've done everything. And I said, well, I don't think that's enough.
Yeah, for example, I have done this for GS domain.
Right.
Okay. And I'm planning to make it generic to other domains. For example,
what's that? Are you going to take one other domain and do a proof of concept with one other domain?
Yes, for example.
But then you need to
I think that this is something we can't resolve right,
right
now,
right.
But you're right. You need to have a thesis statement. The dissertation is a proof or disproof of a single statement. And you need to come up with what is that statement. And that's the thesis. The statement, not the dissertation that you write. All right, so, you know, what is it that you're trying to claim and that the dissertation is going to be in proof of?
And I think it's here. I think that you just need to sit down and do some serious thinking and writing to get it to the point. I think that you pick a really good problem. I think that you understand it. I think that you're so close to it, you're having trouble formulating kind of this view that you need.
Mm-hmm.
And you're just going to need to work on it and get some guidance. So I don't think you're far away, but you're going to have to work on it. And it would really help maybe if you went and got examples from other people so you could see the kind of level that we're talking about. And I'd be happy to provide some examples from my group. They're not going to be on the same line. So, you know, you might be able to get some people from your group or that say,
yeah, actually, I'm trying to generalize the general architecture to utilize the dispersed geographically and organization and dispersed data, utilizing these data efficiently through the filters.
Yeah, I think you're just going to need to take some time to step back and say, okay, I'm going to come up with something to sit down. And, it's going to take you several days to do this and refining and giving it to Jeffrey and going back and forth. And this is something that takes a lot of time, doing this kind of writing.
Okay.
So I agree with Randy, it's not going to be something done right now, but something that we need to do soon, because we as a committee need to be able to agree that, yes, you have a good thesis statement, you have a good plan for how you're going to try to prove or improve your thesis statement, and we can sign on that, yes, this is a good piece of work.
Okay.
And we need to have that.
It will protect you because it will give you explicit criteria when you know that you're fine.
Yes.
You know, that way you can't have, say, Jeffrey saying, oh, that's good, but add this on. Okay, now do this part also. And you said that you could do authorization authentication, add that in, and, you know, with the thesis statement, it clearly defines where the boundaries are. You yourself will know.
Yeah, actually, I know your points because it's a big problem, huge problem.
Right.
Yeah.
And
but,
what happens here is we're going to tell you
I know.
Maybe the narrow.
Yeah, I know your concept. It's a huge problem because SRB, there are lots of scientific collaborations, you know, universities, scientific labs. They are trying to solve this problem. I cannot solve this alone, but I cannot present it in the right way, maybe. What I'm trying to do. I'm trying to do. We need to maybe discuss and make it more clear and.
Yeah, I think so.
Explain.
And you know, I've attended a lot of these where someone's laid this out and said they're going to do all this work, and we said, that's too much. And we told them to cut out chunks of it. So this is good for you to have us agree now instead of, you know, when you're trying to come up and present your dissertation. It really will benefit you if we can get that in writing. And so I think there's some.
For example, for this Melanie's question, I know it was a good question here. He was asking the general XML for the all data, right? Not domain specific.
It's
not.
The big thing about what is the problem you want to solve and what is the approach you approach to solve this problem. So you are looking at the big picture, all which you know in the middle of your presentation, and you haven't got it.
Right.
So that's why I can also present it.
I think we're agreeing. We'll ask you to provide us with another thesis proposal statement. And it's not going to be wasted work.
In a paper or slide?
Introduction to your dissertation.
No, an actual document. We'll provide you some examples.
Yeah, I can discuss one by one maybe after writing or together.
Yeah, well, when you have a document, you can search it with it and we'll give you feedback.
Okay.
And we can.
We all need your feedback and correct after these feedback.
Right, well, we need a new document.
Okay,
this
after these feedback, I will prepare new paper.
A new document. Yes. And we will give you some examples of the level that we expect that we can.
Okay, I see.
And again, this is not going to be wasted effort because you will just roll that over
into
and it will be the intro to your presentation.
Yeah.
possible in the conclusion as well. It's part of writing the dissertation.
And it's just best to do that up front.
Okay.
Thank you.
Feedback on email.
Yeah,
I will be interested.
Yeah,
if I'm happy to look at that. If you want to make sure that you're going in the right direction, feel free to send me an address. Yeah.
Thank you very much.
Yeah, so that's on
test. Yes. And today's Jeffrey's birthday.
Yeah, we think that you're going to succeed.
Yeah.
And, you know, all
of
these, yeah.
All of these are just an attempt to help you ultimately whenever you finish the dissertation and have to go to the outside world and explain to people there on what you've done.
Yeah.
Okay.
Thank you.
Thank you.
Your major mistake was not practicing it more. You should have practiced it more because you were. I should maybe have tried to cancel this meeting. Cancel this after the first opening talk on Monday. Was it Monday you ever talked? The talk on Monday was so far from correct. And this is better than the talk on Monday, but it's still far from correct. Because it's a problem with it. I think technically your work is fine, but when you're trying to present it, you don't distinguish, you don't have a clear, you don't clearly think through the issues. And so really what, that was the complaint that Kay had about some of your slides, they mix things at different levels. And even this motivation, you know, I complained about these slides on Monday, still not good because they're a mix. They're not crisp. And when you discuss filters, you can't really say what the key point is. What is the key point of a filter? Well, I would say the essential point is that we try to treat filters in the same way as data. That we think of filters as looking for the system just like a data. It looks like a database. That's sort of the essential idea. But you don't say that. And that allows us to treat dynamic real-time problems in the same way as static problems. Because the dynamic problem is just created by a filter. And if that filter looks like data, then it's the same problem. So I think you need to state the problem. Is that the world consists of data, relatively static data, and dynamic filters. We are trying to integrate the information produced by those resources. And then you can state a set of examples, such as GIS, Department of Defense, chemistry, astronomy. So that's the problem. And we wish in this DIKW world, we note that this idea that everything is a mix of data and filters is actually hierarchical. That everything is, wherever you look at it, it's sort of, remember the way it's practical. Wherever you look at it, you see the same problem. But a high level or a low level, it's always the same problem. It's always a set of filter interfaces producing which need to be federated. And then we have the key idea that for a given domain, every filter speaks the same ASL. That's the key, isn't it? It sounds trivial, but it's not obvious because many domains have not defined their ASL. GIS has, but not many other fields. Astronomy is the next best along after GIS, so even that idea is non-trivial. So we come up with this framework. So the underlying assumption of the thesis is that there is a framework which we are trying to produce for every domain, which is which is at every level of the system, mix of filters and data sources, each of which has the same interface. Now, you got very confused when people asked you to generalize, say you wanted to make GML, CML, etc., all the same thing, but that's not really quite the issue. The issue is, you want to tell people how to define CML. What does this application-specific language need to have in it so that it can be properly federated? So that's where capabilities come in. Say, well, we're going to make this language express capabilities. All the capabilities will be expressed in this language. So that's an idea which will be quite near the front.
Well, that could prepare at least 100 slides because each topic being
No, you can do this. Your problem is not the number of slides.
But I will prepare something very clearly. I know their content, I realize, because...
Well, I still recommend doing the slides first, because your problem is not the technical detail. Your problem is that you don't have the right high-level organization. And by doing the slides, you're forced, which are high-level, you're forced to do an organization. I think if you write the 10-pager, you will miss the point again. That's my concern. I suggested doing the slides first. The slides force you to think about global issues. So I recommend getting the slides and get it through me and Marlon before you go out to these people. Otherwise, they will be unhappy again because you'll produce totally the wrong thing. You need to get it roughly right before you send it to them. Because they're unhappy. I don't like them being unhappy. Because your work is strong when people are talking. And the other issue you should learn in talking to people is you never answer any of their questions. You're not listening to them. You answer too quickly. That's when I force you to draw on the diagram. I mean, I got quite distressed to force you to draw that diagram because you weren't answering that question. And I don't think you were listening. That's my assumption. I think you were not listening to the question carefully. So when people ask you questions, or when I give you suggestions, you should listen. And you jump, I think you're not listening hard enough so that you can properly absorb the message. There's a message. You have to ask, have I understood the message? They may express it in a funny fashion, but there's a message. And you did not get the message in most of the questions. You did not. I tried to get you to answer Brandley's questions about binary XML. And I tried to get you to point out that the web feature service is actually rather, potentially rather small data, because the coverage service has all the big data, the binary data. And again, in astronomy, all the federation is done at the metadata level, not at the image data level. His question about scientific data was at the image level. So the answer to his question involves saying we do not treat binary data in the same way as the metadata. And it's the metadata that does the federation. So he never answered that question. I tried to give you a hint by forcing you to think about a coverage service which was all image data, which obviously you did not convert the question
because
you don't need it.
I didn't understand what Bear really wants to get.
That's the whole problem with your presentation. You see, your presentation...
But my presentation, if my presentation was a good order and clear, then they will not ask.
I keep telling people that you need to keep... If you have correctly structured presentation, guide the discussion and then you win. As your presentation was not correctly presented, albeit better than Monday's. See, the trouble was I couldn't really tell from what you sent me because you also said the wrong thing. Some of, if you were these words, you could have talked about them in a way that was more acceptable to you, but you didn't talk about it in the right way. You need to just rethink this. You need to give a top-down presentation which starts off with a very clear statement of the problem. A clear statement of the generic solution, which is roughly that diagram discussed. It gives the application examples. So that's the first part of the slide. Then, the last part of the slides are a mix superpowers to do, I would agree with Kay, that I think the most interesting thing that could come out of this is some instructions for any field what they have to do. What do we need to put in CML to make it acceptable? How do we add capabilities to CML? What does it mean? What does VOQL need to do in the astronomy community? Or if you compare VOQL and WFS, how do they look? I mean, is one better than the other? The main, most important thing that has come out of the architecture part or the general lesson part of the thesis is some instructions as to how to build ASL. And given ASL, how you build a federated information system that federates multiple filters speaking ASL. Those, I would say, are the two most important results of your thesis.
ASL might be GML, CML, EVML.
Yeah, but the only one that's well developed is WFS, which is really the messaging is not just ASL, it also has to be structured as the way WFS and WMS structure with capabilities. So there are two things there. The actual language, what can the language express? Then how the equivalent of a filter stuff, which is a generalization of WFS, how is that expressed? The WFS is more than just it speaks GML. It has some instructions about capabilities, which is more than GML, I think. So you need to abstract from these examples a language that expresses the main specific thing. And a part of the system which actually keeps you rather more general. Maybe this can be done totally generally. There should be equivalent. This is effectively the metadata part, which is also the federation part. You have to explain the difference between metadata and federation. Are they the same? If I have a whole collection of maps. Well, you see, WFS is a little confusing because, in my opinion, the GIS solution, the OGC solution, is not correct. Because they have mixed up capabilities with expressing information. So WFS and WCS have actual real data. In one case, features, and in the other case, images. But they also have capabilities which are metadata. And really, what should happen is that the difference between vectors and images are not, in my opinion, very important. I think there's maybe an implementation issue, but the difference between a WCS and a WFS is not important, I think. What's important is the expression of the metadata and the capabilities, because that's what enables the fast searching and the fast querying and the federation. That's my assumption. That's what your thesis should produce. You're not meant to take the GIS solution as God-given. It's allowed to be criticized. I think it's confusing, the GIS solution. I think it's got too many concepts. We need a concept for metadata and federation, which I'm not certain if they're the same concept or different concepts. And we need a concept for data, which is coverage data and feature data. So, but you don't have to solve these to write your document. You do have to just admit these are issues. There is no need to solve any of this for this particular stuff. But you need to think clearly enough to know what the issue is. And one of the difficulties that Braden Moore has with the SRB is the SRB does not express these things very well at all. It's very confusing. And nobody, as far as I can see, in the community But it's very comfortable with the SRP because there's a whole collection of stuff. And it may be a wonderful thing, but it's not explained as how it fits into any framework. There's a metadata catalog and it has a collection management system. Well, collection management is roughly federation, and metadata is metadata, which you obviously need, but so is WFS. I'm pretty confused as to whether SRP is right or not, or how it fits in. It's not obvious to me at all. But it may just be that SRP is too static. I have no idea whether that's the only issue. Anyway, you need to articulate the general issues and state that your research will address them. You do not have to solve them. That's why I told you on Monday. You are trying to solve them. And that's very confusing. So there's some issues like this. This could be a contribution. Clarifying the role of metadata in federation. That's a contribution of your thesis. And to what extent it can be expressed in the domain independent fashion. That's a contribution. Try to first write the first four slides of this talk, which is this overall stuff. Then those of them become the sections of your 10-pager. But you've got to get this overall statement of the overall statement of the problem, the sketch, what I call the 2 million feet view of the solution. And the discussion of some issues, such as this one I mentioned about, do we really need WCS and WFS, or should we think about the data? I mean, SRP talks about data, collections, and metadata. So those are reasonably interesting concepts. Data is the individual entity, which are roughly the filters. So we agree, we're going to generalize data to filters, because we want to do these things that are just statements. Our problem is the general dynamic problem, including filters. Right, given we generalize data to filters, we have to ask about how you manage collections of filters, which is federation, and how we manage metadata. And to what extent metadata and collection management are the same problem. I would try to make at most 6 slides capturing all of this stuff. Then you send that to me and Marlon, we iterate that. Once you do that, you can then decorate the slides with some more detail, and or you can make a 10-pager based on these initial slides, which is then properly structured. I don't think you'll find the other examples terribly useful. You may do just in terms of length. But I don't think your real problem is that. I think your real problem is you're doing it, in some sense, bottom-up, not top-down. You need a top-down approach. You know what I mean, bottom-up and top-down? You're doing it bottom-up. Coming from the detailed engineering, whereas you should do it bottom for this purpose. Be able to deduce results. If you're just, if your job is just to build a GIS system, you could probably do it bottom up. But your job is to have a computer science thesis which produces results of general value. That needs a top down approach. And the top, and you need to have proper hierarchy. This is slightly top down, but it's sort of looking at the problem and just sort of taking scattered dots throughout the landscape, it is not properly structured as problem. Example, overall structure of solution. on issues to be discussed. I mean, that's the being top down requires you not only to think of it from the general to the particular, but it also requires you to identify the key components that you need to discuss separately. You see, this, the problem with what you call motivation is that it does not distinguish any of these different things. It doesn't distinguish the different components of which you have to put together to make a sensible problem of flash defense. One thing you need to do is to give them all toast, because you obviously have problems with giving toast. The last exam you had trouble with, if I remember right, the last fair, I can't seem to remember. So, I think, and that's part of your problem, is you don't communicate well, and you don't listen to people. And that, again, I think is partly because you're thinking of it from the wrong, you're thinking of it different from the other people. Anybody from the outside is almost certain to think of it top down. That they find it difficult to think of it bottom up, they don't understand any of the bottom stuff. So you had a huge problem communicating because you and the audience were thinking about totally different points of view. But you, and also, like, you made statements that this is not data integration. Well, I think it is obviously data integration. The only thing you might say, well, it's information integration, not data integration. The community, I told you, although you talk about DIKW, that's not used terribly systematically, and a lot of people use the word data integration when you could mean knowledge integration or wisdom information or information integration, because it is a data, information, knowledge, wisdom are a line, and like all lines, everybody can draw the dividing points at different places. One person's wisdom is another person's knowledge is another person's data. That's the nature of any hierarchical system. So this word data can be used even though it's really referring to information, because somebody's data can certainly be another person's information. Think about the army. The person in charge of the platoon produces the wisdom necessary for the platoon. As far as the president, the commander-in-chief of the army is concerned, who has to integrate 10,000 platoons together, two battalions and divisions and corps, that goes through many hierarchies. And so the wisdom at the platoon level is, as far as the commander-in-chief is concerned, looks like data. So this concept of data, information, knowledge, and wisdom is very, very, very much in the eye of the beholder. And so you have to just recognize that in your discussions. That's actually the grid of goods concept, that everything is built up hierarchically. And so that's why you need, I think the safest thing is to call everything information. Just never use the word except information. Because information is not data, so it's not the lowest level, and it's not the highest level. Therefore, it can be any level. I think information is a relatively safe term to use. Knowledge implies high level. And data sometimes implies low level, but that's not systematically used. It sometimes is low level and sometimes high level. Databases can be databases of extremely high level data. You don't call them wisdom bases, you call them databases. Whatever they are, they're databases. Whatever they're stored in. So that word data is a feature of the English language, and probably most languages, that certain words are misused. And the word data is misused in that sense. So, that's it. And
don't think this affects what you do for your thesis very much, although I think it will force you to think about the general issues a bit better. And I don't think that preparing this thing be terribly, it's not a huge amount of work, but it is going to require you to think differently from what you're thinking. You're thinking bottom up. And you're not, and you're also not really listening to me or other people when we send you messages. You're translating them into your own world and thinking you've heard what I have said, but you haven't really. You need to hear what we're saying.
Okay, thank you.
If I compare you with Mehmet Zakar, he made about 10 versions of his talk before it was acceptable.
Yeah.
You only had one. That was a problem. He spent years, for reasons I can't know, he produced his, he did not schedule his talk, or he went through lots of versions. I think your problem was you were too ambitious.